Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk K-12 Education. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, Senior Education Consultant of Enrichment Strategy Services, LLC. We're a firm dedicated to designing dynamic learning experiences for our educational institutions and entities that are not meeting their educational indicators. We work by converting capabilities into capacity by empowering individuals to grow with their learning goals. Here at Let's Talk K-12 Education, we are so glad you're here with us. Before we dive into today's conversation, we just want to take a quick moment to give a huge shout out to you, our incredible listeners. We see you tuning in every single week, ready to engage with the kind of critical conversations that truly move our schools, that in turn move our communities forward. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate your energy as a community and dedication as fellow education enthusiasts. You're the heart of this show and the reason I'm so excited as your show host to share my thought leadership. Thank you for making this show what it is. Now, let's get into it. And today we're tackling a topic in episode 27, Tech Takeover, Restoring Digital Balance for Families. Every parent, teacher, and student is navigating daily technology. We're not just talking about screens. We're talking about the deep, nuanced impact of smartphones, video games, and social media in our children's developing brains, their social habits, and their mental well-being. This isn't about shaming technology. It's about understanding that without a conscious, balanced approach, these powerful tools can quietly take over family, life, school performance, and a child's sense of self. Now, let's do a recap and a review. And I talked about this in a previous episode of when my experiences with my grandchildren this summer and how I took it back old school to say, we're going to restore some of the old fashioned things that I did with your parents, which were my children, to get outside, to get some sunlight, to do the good old fashioned learning inquiry of playing in dirt and things of this nature. And I will tell you guys, I'm going over this because it's so important, because I had an uphill battle to get the children, my grandchildren, away from YouTube, to get them away from their smartphones, to get them away from their any type of technology that they were using so that we could go outside. Also mentioning to them, putting it away when it is time for us to have lunch together. Now, I'm going to step on some toes in this episode, and I'm okay if you give me the dirty look, if it means that I'm telling you some information that's going to help you in your schools and a partnership between your home and the school life that you have, even if you're homeschooling. So let me just say that I'm going to step on some toes, but don't get mad at your educational thought leader and education enthusiast. I'm only trying to help, okay? So it's a challenge we all face, and today we're going to get some real actionable strategies for navigating it. So what is the impact of digital overload? Here's the reality. The average teenager spends nearly 8 hours a day on screens. That's more time than sleeping, learning, or spending time with family. Ouch. The effects are real. Kids are sleeping less because they're scrolling into the night. And I will also like to add that before I became a senior education consultant, you know, I tell you my background is in education. I was a classroom teacher. Preferably I started my career out in K-5 doing remediation programs, but then I became a full-time middle school ELA social studies and AVID teacher. And I cannot begin to tell you the times that some of my little sixth grade friends came in. They were exhausted first thing in the morning and couldn't get through a lesson in class. Why? Because once I built my relationship with them, they were very brutally honest to tell me, "Miss Langley, I was up last night on my game," or "Miss Langley," and this is where you know a child trusts you, because they would even tell me, even though my parents thought that my phone was away, I had it and I was on it. So I can attest to this, that even though sometimes parents and families try to set up a structured routine, you have to pay attention, sometimes double back in their rooms and just check on them to see what they're doing. Because as a classroom teacher in middle school, these little sixth grade friends of mine, they were exhausted. Why? Because staying up all night. So just something for you to take care of, you know, not just only, you know, me telling you from my experience as a classroom teacher, but also as a parent of now three grown children and five and a half, well, eight, you may as well say eight and a half grandchildren. Okay. So just stay tuned to that, pay attention to it. And sometimes just do a surprise visit and you may be surprised at what you may see, okay? Attention spans are shrinking. Anxiety and cyberbullying are rising. And maybe the saddest consequence of all, families are sitting together at dinner, but everyone's eyes are glued to a screen. Oh my goodness, ouch, ouch, ouch. See, we even talked about this in a previous episode. Guys, we have to model the digital balance that we want to see in our children, in our grandchildren, in our nieces, nephews, and any children that you are in their village, okay? You know, and this is where I'm going to do some toe stepping, you know, and I've been guilty of it too, and I'm working on it. You know, that when we go out to dinner or sitting at the dinner table, we have gotten away from paying attention and having true social exchanges between the people that we love. Nine times out of 10, you've seen it in the restaurants. I have. That when you go by tables, you see people not engaged in conversation, food, fellowship, and fun, and family. Their eyes are glued in their smartphones or their iPads or any of these other devices that children may have. And the adults are just as guilty. They're just as guilty, guys. We're just as guilty as the little people that we're trying to influence, okay? So when tech replaces connection, kids miss out on the emotional nourishment they desperately need. So here are some warning signs of digital imbalance. So how do you know if your child or even you are slipping into digital overload? Here are a few signs. Irritability or meltdowns when the device is taken away. Now, we have seen this, guys. If we're watching social media or reels or short videos, we've seen some of these children, and not the little K-5. Some of these have been, unfortunately, our middle schoolers and high schoolers. When their devices are taken away, something happens. Some of them have full-fledged temper tantrums and meltdowns. We also are seeing declining grades or lack of interest in schoolwork. They find it boring. When I've talked to some of my K-6, K-8 sometimes friends, they just say, "Hey, I'm bored. I'm bored with the regular reading of a book or reading literature or touching paper to do anything." So we've got to do some things to change that. Choosing screens over outdoor play, hobbies, or social interactions. My dear Let's Talk K-12 education family, my education enthusiasts, I have said this a couple of episodes now, my own experience dealing with that with my grandchildren, how they didn't want to go outside and play. I didn't want to play on the trampoline, or if they rode something, they wanted it to be a switch that they could turn, a battery that was hooked to it. Oh no, honey, Grandma T or Gma T took away all of that, and we went old school, okay? And I saw a difference. So if tech is becoming the primary source of comfort, entertainment and interaction, is time for a reset, okay? Practical tech resets. Now, let's talk about some solutions. So I've kind of barked at you, stepped on your toes, gave you my lived experiences with my students that I taught, some the experiences that I've had with my own grandchildren. So let's talk about some solutions. One of the simplest tools is tech-free zones. Bedrooms and dinner tables should be safe havens for rest and connection. Second, create digital curfews. Ooh, this is huge, guys. Collect devices at a certain time each night. And yes, that means parents too. Kids follow what we model. Oh my gosh, I just mentioned that. Third, replace, not just remove screen time. Plan family walks, game nights, or creative projects so kids see alternatives to scrolling. So one of the things that I also did this summer with my grandchildren is I have a bonus stepmother now because her husband, which was my husband's stepfather, he passed away in March. So I make it my business sometimes to take my children down there to her. And one of the things that she started off doing was, let's always go out to eat. Let's go out to eat. And I'm like, no, we're not doing any of that this time, Ma Amada. We are actually going to do the old school. We're going to spend time together. We went, we took the kids to the park. They walked on the waterfront. They had a quick impromptu lesson of fishing by a fisherman that was on the pier. Then we took them by the store to look, and my stepmother, my bonus stepmother-in-law is Hispanic. And so I was loving how she exposed my grandchildren to cultures when it came to, baked goods and the types of candies and piñatas. And she gave a history lesson on that. And then that night, do you want to know what we did? Let's talk K-12 education family. We weren't sitting by the TV talking. We got together and we made tortillas, enchiladas. They learned about how to portion the food inside each one of them. They had lessons on measurement. She taught them what a prayer dice was. So these are all things, number one, that doesn't require a lot of money. It doesn't require you to go back to college to know how to execute it with your families. These are some very simple things that, you know, I even did in my own families with my grandchildren this summer, and it was a hit. Now, and finally, parents, we got to model healthy tech use. If we're always glued to our phones, kids will be too. Again, and I have to tell you that I was guilty as such. There are actually times now that, you know, I'm a senior education consultant and founder of Enrichment Strategy Services. So of course, I'm always, you know, checking my emails to see if someone needs something or for invoicing, or I'm looking to research, do any market research on some of the latest educational trends, you know, as I do as a consultant or as I do for the Let's Talk K-12 Education show. And I will tell you, I was also very guilty of what my grandchildren, my husband, and my children were seeing, that even though I was like, oh, I'm not working, I'm not on my laptop, I'm from behind the laptop with doing any work, but you know what I was telling a little bit of a fib doing? I was still doing some of the same thing when I'm sitting in the living room, or if we're riding out for the day to do something together, or if we're sitting in the backyard on the patio, you know, just having a good old fashioned food on the grill. I was still modeling to my children, my husband, and my grandchildren that what we're doing doesn't matter. because even though I told you I'm not working, technically I was, because I was still pulling up my good old Gmail or my social media on my phone. And what did they see? The top of my head looking in my phone when I should have been I should have been in the moment with my family. So we have to, there are times you're going to need to use your technology. That's what our world is immersed in now. And it's a great thing, but there has to be a balance. We're talking about restoring digital balance. We're talking about putting measures in place that is not the only thing that your world is encompassed around, that your teaching isn't involved around, that your family time should be void of it for a little bit. You know, let's go back to having a digital curfew. When my children were teenagers, what I would do is, you know, and let me back up for just even more and toe step a little taste. You know, I hope that you respect what I'm doing, because you also know I do lots of hand holding on the episode. Well, sometimes if I'm driving home a point that I feel very passionate about, I'm also going to do some toe stepping. So I'm going to do more toe stepping here to say we need to even back up. So for instance, from my lived experiences as a mother of three children, which were two daughters and one son, and as a classroom teacher, and I was also an adult teacher as well for GED program. Now, for your children and grandchildren, or the children that you have guardianship over, this is something that you're not going to be real pleased about, but I'm going to talk about it and do some toe stepping. Sometimes these children, we need to also model to them that they have to earn their digital time. They have to earn their technology or game time. Oh my goodness. And I know that I'm probably going to get some very agitated email communication about this, but that's okay, because I'm going to say it then, and I'm going to probably also respond in my email to you the same way. I used to teach students that they were failing, not just my class, they were failing across the board. And do you know that they would reveal to me and the other teachers on the team that they still had their smartphones? They were still able to play on their games. They were still able to get their iPad. Now, let's talk community. Let's talk K-12 community. Let's just start off with saying that this needs to start in the home. If you're able to keep up with your child's academic process or your grandchildren's academic process, they shouldn't be engrossed in having technology for entertainment. Now, if you're giving them the technology for educational purposes, because it's a nice, neat program that helps with math, that helps with reading, that's great. But I will caution you to monitor that, because they are really, really smart at, you know, taking a browse and open another browse and being where they shouldn't be. So I will tell you, don't just give them the technology and just assume that they're on this educational website or app that you are thinking that they're on. You need to monitor that. You need to let the technology be an incentive, meaning that, okay, where are your grades? You know, have you been being accountable and being responsible with your academics, with your personal life, with your tasks and chores? You can leverage their digital input, and you should use it accordingly. So that's the toe stepping. I know you're not going to like it. I know. And I'm again, I stand 10 toes down on it because it's things that I have done with my children, I've done with my grandchildren, and I've done as an educator in K-12 and higher ed. And we have to be the good role model. So for instance, you can't just say, oh, you got to earn the right to get your technology. You know, you also have to do the same thing. So, you know, I will say for myself, I have lots of tasks as a founder and CEO of education consulting company. So there are sometimes there are things that I have to do. So I even implement this for my own self, like, oh, before I can surf the web and look at videos or just relax on my leisure time and go through some of my social media sites, I have to complete X amount of tasks and chores that I have to do in my business or in my home life with, you know, with the things that I have to do as a wife and a mom and a grandmama, if it means to, you know, clean the house or wash the dishes or put up the clothes or, you know, or to cook. Sometimes I also in order to balance, restore my digital balance, I implement those things for myself because again, even as adults, we don't always model the best digital practice. Okay. So I did some toe stepping to you, but I also was very transparent about my struggles sometimes to balance my digital literacy. Okay. Now, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Let's Talk K-12 Education Show. We've explored the complex world of technology and its powerful impact on our children and schools and in our own lives. The crucial takeaway is this: digital balance doesn't mean no technology. It means using it wisely so it serves us instead of controlling us, okay? It's about intentional use, not just a reaction. So I want to give you a little success story from my repertoire, turning limited resources into literacy growth. So as a 3-5 reading remediation specialist, I partnered with the school last year, and I'm partnering with that same school this year that put me in a space that had no smart boards, no Chromebooks, and limited classroom resources. However, using targeted instruction and engaging lessons, low-tech literacy strategies, I helped to drive measurable results by school performance growth, improving from a D to a C rating, student literacy outcomes increased reading growth by 9%. And sometimes, even though I'm working directly with the students, I am able to have conversations with their teachers because I pull out in order to do my reading groups. I'm able to provide some of these strategies, sustainable strategies, to some of the teachers, and they were able to replicate some of these interventions after implementation. So we work as a team. This is where our shared work begins, guys. We all have a role to play in building a healthier digital environment. So, you know, I always give you homework. So here's your challenge for this week, designed to help you meet a daily or weekly goal for a better digital balance. For the student or family, dedicate 1 hour each evening this week to being completely tech-free. No phones, no tablets, no TV. Use this time for family connection. Play a board game, read a book together, or just talk about your day. You might be surprised at what you discover when you disconnect to reconnect. For the educator, pick one lesson or activity this week and consciously integrate technology in a way that's a supplement to learning, not a replacement for it. For example, instead of a student watching a documentary on a topic, have them use a video editor to create their own short video summary. Use technology as a tool for creation, not just consumption. Ooh, let me back up and run over that again. Use the tools, the digital tools for creation, not just consumption, okay? This small act of being intentional can have a monumental impact on your focus and well-being. So again, I want to thank you for listening, and remember, the most powerful change starts with a single step. You've been listening to Let's Talk K-12 Education right here on the Realizing Your Potential TV network. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, Senior Education Consultant with Enrichment Strategist Services, LLC. Remember, one conversation, one discussion, and one connection at a time, we are designing learning experiences that transform capabilities into capacity, not just for students, but for families and entire communities. Education is more than a system. It's a movement. And together, we are building the future, brick by brick, voice by voice, and learner by learner. If today's conversation sparks something in you, whether it's a question, an idea, or a desire to collaborate, or an interest in my education consulting and coaching services, I'd love to hear from you. So this key takeaway today: with the right strategies, schools and families don't always need the latest technology to see real gains. Proven literacy methods, when delivered with intention and consistency, can transform outcomes even in resource-challenged environments. So listen, if your district, school, or program is looking for results-driven literacy support that works in any setting, let's connect. You can reach me directly at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Again, you can reach me directly at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Until we meet again, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, keep pushing boundaries, keep believing in possibilities, and above all, keep realizing your potential. This is Let's Talk K-12 Education, where learning meets leadership and capacity becomes community strength. Toodles to you for now.